You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Baptism. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And we just finished reading it, so I have this highlighted, where we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So, what is baptism? Let's just go right in on your sheet of paper that you should have, and don't act like you know everything, because we don't. Write down what it is that you believe baptism is based upon what we're sharing in information. Let's go. What is baptism?
Are you wanting us to answer or
write it down?
I want you to answer it, because we are in the forum and discussion, and then when we get to the actual answer, I want you to write the answer down.
Right,
because
everybody confused.
Yeah, she said get some paper.
Right.
We're going to get the right answer then right now.
We've been in school too long.
Yeah, too long.
All right.
What is?
We are going to discuss what baptism is based upon your answers, and then when we get to the point of the right answer, then you will write it down.
Great job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Baptism means to immerse yourself. Whether you immerse yourself in water, it's an immerse.
Okay. It means to immerse in water. That's what Joseph said.
It's like an outwardly show of
is there a symbolic meaning of baptism? Or like?
I just want to know what the Christian's definition of what baptism is. So I got an immersion of water, I got an outward show of, and then she stopped, so finish.
An outward show of, I lost my train of thought.
Outward show of a spiritual transformation.
There we go. Yeah.
Outward show of a spiritual transformation. Anybody else?
Repentance.
I was just going to say, kind of like piggyback on what you said, it's just like to show, it's like a display of Christ changing you and transforming you into a new. Water like symbolizes you becoming a new.
Water symbolizing something.
We talked about that last week too.
The water symbolizes the death of the old.
Yeah.
When you come up, you're a new person.
The water is the word and the spirit. You need the baptism, the one that Jesus talked about is better than the water baptism. It's the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the word, which is, yeah, and then, you know, the water, you got to do that too, but it ain't like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Being what?
What?
Being saved by the Lord.
Baptism means being saved by the Lord. Not exactly.
Is accepting Jesus as your Father, Son, Holy Spirit?
It's being accepted.
No.
It's like they say.
Yes.
It's
the,
why, yes.
She said
because
yes.
When you get baptized, usually the pastor will say, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So that's what it means to be baptized?
Well, it means part of accepting Jesus as your, you know, recognizing the Trinity and understanding that God has two parts.
That's what baptism is?
You're dying. Old self is dying, washing yourself. And you're pretty much declaring that the old me is dead.
So, yeah, outwardly expression of the transformation.
Okay.
It's a representation of... It's a representation of the death and burial and the resurrection of Christ. And we're going down, we're dying to Christ, and we're coming, and then the burial is you're under, immersing under the water, so you have to, you're dying, and then you come up, you're being resurrected, and you're representing that as you accepted Christ. And it's the first step.
Turn the fan off, it's hot in here.
I can't hear.
So loud.
Then can that one stop covering
Suit?
Up Joseph?
Yeah, I need that. Really?
Okay, so we have this aspect of immersion. We have this aspect of symbolism. We have this aspect of an act that connects you to what? Christianity, or what does it connect you to? Okay.
What do you mean by connect you to?
I'm just throwing out a question. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Because, again, we're talking about people who are not saved asking you questions about your faith. And sometimes they cannot quite... They're not as eloquent in terms of their knowledge, so their questions, like I'm presenting, tend to be general. So you have to be specific in terms of what you're explaining to them, so that they are clear. That's why I'm not being very specific in the things that I'm saying, because most people, when they ask you questions, they don't know what they're asking half the time. So you need to be able to respond to them in the specifics of what you know in your faith, so they are not confused, because they don't know. An outward appearance of an inward change. They don't, what does that mean? That's what I'm digging for you to be able to, because what you're saying is right. And of course, the actual meaning of baptism is immersion in water. Okay, so you can write that down if you want to, that it means, in terms of the technical, an immersion is the physical act of full immersion in a body of water. So let's get that clear. So anything that you hear in terms of, somebody asked this last week about the sprinkling, is that baptism? No. Do people practice that in other denominations? And yes. But is it baptism according to Scripture? No. Are we good?
Yes.
All right. The baptism in terms of is the symbolic identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. The premise of belief by which we are saved. We are identified with Christ. Somebody said this, the identification with Christ, but we're identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what symbolically baptism is. It is also connected to the very fact of you being saved. We said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, well, what does it mean to be saved? According to the scripture, Paul says that one would believe that Jesus Christ, according to scripture, died, was buried, and was raised again in 3 days. If you believe that, then you are saved. Now, of course, we know that there are other connecting scriptures that give us the qualifications of salvation, but the belief that Jesus was alive, he was buried, he was dead, and he resurrected is the premise of our faith. And when we get baptized, what we're doing is we're physically identifying with that same confession that we made. Is everybody with me? Is anybody confused? So I have a question. Or does anybody have a question before I have a question? Nobody? Okay, so here's my question. When did baptism begin?
John the Baptist.
Nope. Did Jesus stop baptizing?
Nope. Good guesses. Yes, sir.
Baptism as we know it now, or pre-Christ baptism?
Okay, again, I am presenting questions as a person that is just, I don't know. When did baptism begin, Christian? Why not?
Yeah, because you can say that about anything when anything started.
Well, baptism specifically, or the act of baptism before Christ was an act of what? Anybody? Before somebody Christ said this before.
Respect?
You just finished saying it.
Respect.
It was an act of respect?
Yeah.
Didn't we say last week talking about how they would
go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, how they would like get baptized right before they enter the
temple. There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Not respect. What's the reference?
No. Reverence is a good word. What other reason?
Cleansing.
There was a practice. Say it again.
Cleansing.
Cleansing what? What are we cleansing?
Cleansing.
Your heart.
Soul.
Your heart.
Spirit. Heart, soul, spirit.
Okay, let's backtrack for a minute to just think about the culture of the time. I mean, you go into the temple, there's this staff of reverence before God. Somebody said the word reverence. In a practical sense, you're in a land that is dusty and dirty and so on and so on and so forth. And you're going into the temple. So you're doing two things. You're bathing to get dirt off of you. And then you're coming out and you're getting robes to be able to enter into the temple and do whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing in terms of worship to God. So from a practical sense, because of the land and things of that nature, they wash themselves to be cleansed from the outside world. Does that make sense? From a symbolic dynamic, you're cleansing your heart in preparation for all of the offerings and sacrifices that were going to be presented for your sin. Everybody with me?
So they used to do this a lot, though. They used to do this
yes.
every time.
Yes.
So is that still considered baptism? Is like a one time?
It is now. Why?
Because, I mean, that's, you dying to yourself, that's like the symbolic nature of it. You're not going
to change.
Now, don't get it twisted. If
obviously,
you get baptized, it's not going to save
before.
You.
It didn't represent a death, burial, and resurrection before.
There
exactly.
you go. What did it represent?
Just
and you had to keep doing it because why? You kept getting dirty in the natural, and what else? So who said that? Kept sinning.
See, that's why I say it wasn't called baptism. It was just like ceremonial.
Baptismo is the Greek. The Hebrew was immersion. They didn't have a word called baptism back then, but it was going under to cleanse yourself before you entered into the temple. So the idea, and it's the same thing that they carried into the temple during Jesus' time, but John kind of changed the game. How did John change the game?
Baptism.
Repentance.
Okay, that's the spiritual thing. Say again.
I just said repentance.
Okay, what does that mean?
Change your ways.
Change.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Turn back.
Turn back to
God.
To God.
Where was John baptizing people?
In the
Jordan. So he wasn't nowhere near the temple.
Right.
Louder.
So that was the first time I remember baptism being spoken of in the Bible.
As far as John's baptism?
As far as baptism, the way that you understand it today.
Uh-huh. Questions? Comments?
So, is it okay if you're baptized more than once?
Good question. Is it okay if you're baptized more than once?
If you understand what baptism means, then I would say no.
Why?
Because you don't need to.
Why?
You already forgiven. It's like the pool. And now
hold that thought.
What if you're about to have a baby?
That doesn't count because as a child, you don't know what you're doing it for. Your parents might have pushed you to do it, or not push you, but
some children.
Yeah, for some. Yeah. So when you're baptized the second time, when you're older, you have an understanding of why you're doing it.
Or you should.
But
so
yeah.
You do, and then you want to get baptized again, you shouldn't.
Why should you?
Wait a minute. What's the question? You got two different questions going on. If you got baptized before.
And you understood.
Then?
Yeah. What if you want to get baptized again? You shouldn't.
Why would you? Let me qualify my question. You got baptized before. Do you have an understanding of what baptism is now for real? And maybe recognize that when I did it before, it wasn't under the right understanding.
Well,
Okay, so if it was, you understood it to be the death, burial, and resurrection, you identifying with that, then why are you doing it again? It's like you're saying dying again. Anybody, look, this is open discussion. Am I right or am I wrong? If you understood it to be that, death, burial, and resurrection.
I don't think I would cooperate with that.
Okay, why not?
I second that.
Why not?
Because what if you, say that you're in high school or something, you get baptized, you give yourself to the Lord, you understand, you're old enough to understand what that means.
What does that mean?
That you understand that baptism is you're dying to yourself, accepting Lord God as your Lord and Savior,
mm-hmm.
and you're living your life for Him.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older, you kind of just get off your walk with Christ.
Uh-huh.
You make decisions that you know are not right.
Right.
You decide to live for your flesh, not for the Spirit,
uh-huh.
for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then you get back into your relationship with Christ, and you feel that you need to kind of rededicate, but in a
there's nothing wrong with that. Be dedicated.
Uh-huh. And give your life again to Christ.
You can't give your life again to Christ.
Yeah.
I love this. Say it louder.
You can't give your life again to Him. You repent. That's why. If you understood what it was, and then now that you're saying that I've been sinning in this, then you repent. You repent from what you were doing. You're already God's.
What if you want to again?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. That's the question. What if you want to get baptized again? Is it right or is it wrong? Basically, you ask me, is it right or wrong to get baptized again?
And my
statement is, why would you do that again? If you understood it the first time and you backslid, and as what Joseph is saying, you repented, what would be the point of baptizing yourself again? Wait. You two disagree. If you come with a different disagreement, I need a scriptural backing for what you're saying.
They gonna do it that way. They might as well. You gonna be baptized yourself until you.
I got two people who disagree. Go.
He agreed with you.
You agree with me.
He agreed with you.
You agree with me?
No, I was saying the reason why I was for a personal reason, and that was because I wanted to go to Jerusalem and do it the way. It was done in biblical, so I wanted to go to the Jordan River and get baptized. So that's why I wanted to do it again. The first time I didn't know because where I'm from is Memphis, and they did what they call morning bench, where you had to go for a week and pray, and then after that you was baptized. But I was younger. So then, that was something we did back from home. So now, but I'm just older and studying this and knowing what it's for, she knows I have a goal to go over to Jerusalem. I want to do the baptism in Jordan River.
But just what you just said is that you were younger, you didn't know, and you want to do it again. Ain't nothing wrong with doing it again. That's what he's clearly stating. But I get what Joseph's saying. It doesn't make sense to do it over and over again. I get it, backslide, and I get that. I mean, the horrible sin that you can do, you got to ask for forgiveness and move on. But if you feel in your heart that's what you need to do to get it right, and that one motion to get it right, then do what you got to do.
Yes, ma'am.
I know we said that before the Jews went into the temple, they washed themselves, they cleansed themselves and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you do a baptism but cleanse yourself, just between you and God and, your personal, is that different?
What do you mean?
Doing a baptism is you're doing it in front of everyone. You're just, you're doing it as an outward show for everyone of what you've done in your heart for God. But can you just cleanse yourself just in a personal behind closed doors, not in front of everyone? Can you do something like that?
Are you saying run your bath water and say, Lord, I'm not trying to be funny.
No,
I'm just trying to.
People do that.
I'm trying to understand your question. So you're saying, okay, if I run the bath water, Lord, I'm immersing myself and baptizing myself.
No, what she's basically saying is if you could not meditate, but kind of talk to God personally on a personal level between you and God and nobody else.
And
kind of going to the altar. Like, if we had an altar, nobody else is touching you, it's between you and God.
So, let's backtrack.
So, can it be two different things? That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I was asking.
the aspect of your personal talking to God and saying, God, I have some issues, I have some things and things of that nature. Yes, you can do your thing. But we're talking about baptism and the practice of baptism as we as believers establish is the demonstration, the symbolic demonstration to say in a public setting, I belong to God now. I made the confession, I am saved, and I am following the example that Jesus set in demonstration to be immersed in water, recognizing his death, his burial, and his resurrection in front of people. That is baptism.
Okay.
Okay? That, now, you had a disagreement before you say, hold that thought, Chris.
You
I do.
I only say that because I did it.
You did what?
When I got baptized, I was 7 years old.
Okay.
But I knew what I was doing when I got baptized because back home, you didn't get baptized without being taught what it was about and why, and you had to explain why you were doing it. But between 7 years old and 32 years old, a whole lot happened. And under the unction of the Spirit, I was led to go to my pastor and ask to be baptized again. She, in turn, said, you do not need to be baptized again. And I said, I am feeling very heavy under the Spirit that this is part of my renewal back to Christ.
Mm.
And she allowed it, and I did it. So at the age of 32, I was baptized again.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Kenneth?
Well,
hold that thought.
Know.
I hear you.
I was raised Lutheran, so they didn't, they did it that way. And
they what know. Is that?
They
put
hold
water?
You over the water, and then they point you,
yeah, that's
and then the godparents say the, not rites, but they
yeah,
say
that
rites.
They
like,
accept.
Yeah.
Is that what happened to you?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
They mess your hair up or nothing, huh?
I was
a
baby. I didn't know
yeah.
about hair.
Yeah, because they do it like right out of the room. Basically, you right out of the room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
born.
Happened to you?
Yeah.
As a baby?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
But I've never, but see, I am actually, me and Pastor Donna had to talk about that because I've never, since being saved, I've never been baptized.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had like a aversion to it.
An aversion?
Yes.
Okay, we'll deal with that in a minute. Mr. Kenneth.
Where does it say you can only do it once? Confess your sins all the time. You do it. Pastor always calling you up to confess your sins or your belief. You keep doing that over and over and over. You baptize. It's an outward anyway. It's an outward deal for people. So if you do it again, is that gonna keep you from getting to heaven? No. So you know.
Okay.
That sounds good.
It's not.
I got an answer to it.
What does it say in the Bible that you should do it over and over again?
That's not even.
It's on your heart.
No.
Yeah, I know.
That's beautiful. This conversation is beautiful.
So let me say this.
Okay.
Please let him say something.
Repentance and obedience. That's the big. That's the key thing. Repent. When you repent. That's cleansing in itself. I mean, I don't understand why. If you're going to keep baptizing, if you're going to keep getting baptized, you're going to keep doing it for the rest of your life because you're not going to ever just be without sin. So, I mean, when is it going to stop? You're going to stop at 30, 42, 58. You're going to feel better about well, you got to understand when God forgives you and you repent, he's already promised in the word that he's forgiving you. That's something that you're battling with yourself. You think the water's going to change you? And just like if you get baptized and you're a tree that's not bearing good fruit, you're going to be thrown in the fire. It's about how you walk it. That's the difference.
So I want to deal with something that Ms. Yolanda said, but I've got to give Chris his time, and then I'm going to recognize
Brittany. No, don't do my time. It's okay.
You just raised your hand.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I would say... You baptize one time, unless the first time you did it, you didn't fully understand what you were doing. Because to me, the reason why when you get ready to get baptized, the pastor or the minister who's baptizing you ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ died? Do you believe? He asked the questions before he dunked you. He don't just take you in there and just dunk you. So he asked the questions to see if you have an understanding. Now, if you're a child and you say yes, but you really don't have that full understanding, when you come to understanding, then I would say get baptized when you have an understanding. But the reason why you don't have to get baptized again after you accept Jesus is because you accept what Jesus did, death, burial, and resurrection. He knew when he died for us that we weren't going to live this perfect sinless life. So his death, burial, and resurrection was an opportunity for when we believe and then we get out and we mess up, he has already paid for the sin for us to repent and come back. So it's almost like to be getting baptized again and again because you sin. It's like, well, Jesus, can you die for me again? Because I did something bad for the, you know what I'm saying?
Let me address two things. Do you have something to say before I say it? Are you sure?
Huh? I was just saying 1 John 1:9.
What does it say?
Yeah.
If you confess your sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
What does that mean? Just throw out a scripture. What does that mean?
That means if we confess our sins, that will cleanse us. You don't have to get baptized. Now, I understand where Mr. Lonnie was coming from, but maybe that was more of a personal thing and not a you have to thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Okay, so thank you, Mr. Kenneth. I want to address you.
She has a question.
No, she reading something. She's going to read with you.
Oh, okay.
Miss Ade?
Oh, no, it was kind of a question.
Actually, not so much of a question.
No, I just read this thing that said that if you get baptized again, it's like a sin because it's saying that you're pretty much saying that what the Holy Spirit did the first time was not sufficient.
Okay. All right, so let's deal with this from two aspects. One, Ms. Yolanda's decision to do baptism again doesn't mean or disqualify her from heaven or whatever our concept of connecting to God is. Is it right or wrong? There's no answer to that. The issue is when we do what we do as believers, it's understanding what it is that we're doing. And not just understanding, but then carrying out what's supposed to happen after. See, our struggle is we get saved. Salvation is what? Let's start that again. It's being born again. What does born again mean? Is it just natural? Now I get to go to heaven. What is being born again? What is it?
Operating in the Spirit.
Living your life in the Spirit, by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. It is a spiritual transformation that immediately happens. You die to sin because Jesus paid for our sin. We acknowledge that he paid the price that we couldn't pay. And so the life that I live now, I live in him. I'm alive in Christ. Everybody with that? We are saved by
grace.
Through
faith.
And this not of our
selves.
It is a
gift.
So the act of baptism is a decision that we make to identify with what we confessed. Are y'all following me? It's an act that we do, but you're not saved by your act of getting baptized or re-baptizing yourself. That salvation and baptism are not synonymous with each other. They work in complement with each other. Does everybody understand what I just meant? You can have... Yes, sir.
Okay, weird analogy, I'm sorry. I don't know. It's like, if it's your birthday, you don't have to wear a birthday hat for it to be your birthday. But you can wear a birthday hat, so everybody knows it's your birthday.
Thank you, Richie. That's a weird and out there, but that is true. You're saved. Salvation is based upon your confessing in your mouth, believing in your heart. And guess what? If you do that sincerely, God knows your heart. You did it sincerely and you turn around and get hit by a bus and you never get immersed. Guess what? You're going to heaven. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Is everybody good, right, with understanding that?
So
you don't have to do that. I said it's in compliment. It's not a have to, it's a want to. Are we tracking? It's not a have to, but I want to, because I want to identify and I want people to know that when I do this, not only does God know my heart, but now I want my brothers and sisters who are around me to know what I have said in my heart and established in my heart. I get to do that.
Yes.
And why do I also do it? Because Jesus himself said when he walked upon John, what did John say to him, Joseph? What did John say to him, Richie? Anybody? Or anybody. John the Baptist.
Jesus to baptize him.
Yeah, he asked him to baptize him. Yeah.
And what did John say to him?
He said, you know, you should baptize me.
You should be baptizing me. Right? But what did Jesus' response was?
It's pretty much the will of the Father. It must be fulfilled.
I do this so that all scripture is fulfilled in righteousness. So I do what I do because I want to, because I want to just follow the track of righteousness. Doesn't mean that I'm going to go to hell because I didn't do it, but I'm just taking the steps towards what Jesus set as an example. How many of y'all know Jesus didn't have to get baptized?
Right.
The two men that died on the cross next to him didn't get baptized.
Right. Yes, sir. We understand that.
Yeah,
we're clear on that. Because I want to dispel its complement. It's not this aspect of synonymous. If I'm saved, then I have to get baptized. So if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you got baptized, and you knew what you were doing, and you end up backsliding because you didn't continue to track some other things, you can go and get baptized again if you choose to, but you don't have to. Are y'all tracking? It's like the birthday hat. It's my birthday. Today, I'm going to wear the hat because I want people to know, again. Does that make sense? I want to go to Israel because I want to experience that dynamic of being baptized into Jordan. Not because I need to do it or I'm having to reestablish something. That's just something I want to do. Hold your breath. Because the Jordan is kind of muddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm being funny, but the personal choices and the personal decisions does not disqualify you or add anything to your confession of faith. Is everybody tracking? So here's the question. Do you have to be baptized in order to enter into heaven?
No.
No.
Repent.
No.
No.
Say repent.
John?
Yes.
Do you want to answer the questions?
Is this a part of it?
They used to scare us with that in the old church.
No, being baptized is an act of obedience and a public proclamation of your faith. You don't have to be baptized in order to get into heaven or be identified as saved. Salvation is based upon your confession of your mouth and belief in your heart. You do baptism because you want to be obedient and track in the form of righteousness that Jesus established. Identifying his death, burial, and resurrection in a public setting. Hey, I'm for real with this. For real, what? This spiritual transformation that happened of me being born again.
Right.
Something that had nothing to do with me and everything to do with what Jesus did for me. Everybody good? Any questions? Because I want to dig a little deeper now in uprooting this whole premise of having to be baptized. Some of y'all thrown out the aspect of y'all had this little thing done when you were babies or what have you, and you know, the fear is, well, man, that wasn't right, so now I got to do it again. Well, no, that wasn't even right to begin with, so you don't have to worry about it. So now, if you choose now to identify in a public setting that you want to be immersed, I'm your guy.
What?
I'm just saying, because now you know what it is, and if you want to be able to say in a public setting, I want to make a public declaration of the transformation that has happened, officially, you can do it. If you don't do it, that's between you and God. You don't go to hell because you didn't get baptized. Now, here's the problem that we're having. In certain circles of faith, and I'll say this in terms of just dispelling a lot of where our own practices come from, the Catholic faith of which we are branched out from, broken down and branched out from, this premise of being baptized is synonymous with salvation. If you do not get baptized, then you are not, according to the Catholic faith, then you are not a part of the Christian church family. And if you are not a part of the Christian church family, you're not going to heaven. Mm. And somehow down to the aspect of baptism and all of the splintering that happened and Reformation and all of these other things that transpired from the Catholic Church, the practice of baptism and what it represented got a little confused. It got a little muddled. It got into this aspect of we're going to teach you how to do it because along with being saved, you've got to be baptized. Because that was a practice from the Catholic Church. You've got to be saved and you've got to be baptized. These are our tenets, or as they call our sacraments. We don't follow that. That is not biblical. Are y'all tracking with me?
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Then help me understand John 3:5-7, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born of the water and the spirit.
Uh-huh.
To be born again. Many people reference the water as baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the water part come from?
Go get
the water.
Th- stop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, st- not stop. Stop.
Okay.
But stop. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Go, Keith.
I was just say because I don't think you were here last week. He does say water and spirit, but what he's talking about is the baptism by fire of the Holy Spirit. The water is the Word of God that renews and cleanses you. So it's confusing because I threw PR the same loop last week, but he had to correct me. It's not the water baptism H2O. It's water as in the Word washing you and cleansing you. And the Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And that's because people get they make that
the
premise. Exactly, for having to be baptized. What, Richard?
Nothing. I would just say then why, because it was Jesus who said that, right?
It is.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't have put water before spirit if it meant that. If it meant baptism. Like, it makes sense with it being the Word, and of course we know that Jesus is the Word. So that makes sense. But to me, if the people were looking at it as baptism, that wouldn't make sense because the outward expression is not more important than you being cleansed in your spirit.
Agreed. But people do that. Why? Because people misinterpret the Word misinterpret the Word based upon their present situation. Me and Joseph were just talking about that today. Presently, when I read scripture, I don't look at it from the aspect of these words that I'm reading have been translated from a different language, from a different time, and a different culture. So in order for me to really understand what I'm reading sometimes, that's why the scripture says study the word. Because a lot of the things that we deal with, and even it's this conversation about baptism and the aspect of doing it over again, I'm not going to say because we don't study, because many times we've been taught based upon somebody else hearing something, based upon somebody else hearing stuff, something instead of getting into the Word and doing what we're doing here, then you get kind of caught up in, what's right and what's wrong about this English translation that I'm reading. And then I practice my life according to that. And, of course, you're accountable only for what you know, so I don't think that God is going to beat you up. But once you get the truth, you got to walk in the truth. Everybody with me? I saw a hand up, or kind of a hand. You had your hand kind of up.
No, it was me.
It was you?
You got us confused?
Huh?
I said you just got us confused.
You're confused?
No, I said you got me and my sister confused. I was making a joke. Never mind.
Oh.
But I had my hand up.
So
if we don't...
Go ahead.
Okay. So if we don't, need to be baptized in order to enter heaven, why would Jesus put it on your
What if you don't get the chance to put on your heart? What if you die before
that? I've just answered that question.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, you got to get it.
Okay, so your question is, let's go back to your question. Why would Jesus put it on your heart?
Yeah, to get baptized again.
To get baptized again?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. I'm going to do a Jesus thing.
You understand the
question. You understood what you did the first time, right? You understood what it represented as far as baptism, right? Did you understand what salvation was?
far as like salvation because of Jesus, like him dying on the cross for you and being saved?
No. I'm talking about what we talked about last week, about the aspect of you, your life actually being transformed and changed, and you were born again. Yes. So you understood that too?
Yes.
Did you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
How you know Jesus put it on your heart?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I can't see because I don't. Like, nobody in here knows anybody's heart except God, right? Yeah.
Conviction. I think equating conviction with Jesus putting something on your heart. Conviction doesn't necessarily mean he's telling you to be baptized. He's probably saying to repent or to believe that you're forgiven.
Right.
That may be the case, but let me just say this: if you feel the weight of your life at this point, and you want to, you know, because I just finished saying this, and you say that God has put it on your heart to be baptized again, be baptized again. Okay. And you know why I'm saying that? Because whether you do it or you don't do it, it does not disqualify you from being or entering into heaven. Because you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying, you know what, I need to do this. Maybe you're saying, I need to do this for me. Right?
But you're saying that for the right reason.
No. What I'm saying is you don't have to do it because the right reason is between you and God. God, you saved me. I want to make a public, I'm serious about it now. Maybe I was serious about it before, but I messed up. I want to do it again. God is not going to say, you don't do that again because you're just, no. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying don't feel like you have to. You don't have to, but you want to. And that's what it's about. That's the question that you asked today. The issue is, well, do we have to? You don't have to, but you want to. And apparently it's very heavy on your heart. So do it. You feel me? Do it.
I just want to jump here and say, I did it because of personal reasoning, and I believe that that's what is heavy on your heart, because it's a personal dedication on the inside of you. There is things that happen to us down through the years of our lifetime that not everybody understands, mm-hmm. but if you and God understand it and you know that's why you're doing it, don't let anyone deter you from that, because at the same time, when I went to my pastor kept saying what Pastor Rick said. You don't have to do this, Sister Yolanda. You don't have to do this. But I knew it was God speaking to me to make me do this. And if it was after the fact that I understood why I had to do it, because things that happened in my life, there were spirits still attached to me that I couldn't get rid of by myself. Counseling after counseling after counseling after counseling after counseling, it did not work. It did not help. Because those spirits were so strong and embedded in me, because they were from 0 to 32. So there was a spiritual cleansing that had to have happened. But for me to accept that cleansing, I had to physically go.
You had to make it public.
I had to make that public, because then, because trust me, after that, did I stay sinless? No, not at all. But I understood what repentance meant better,
right,
and
right.
knew what foundation I had to go back to,
right.
and those spirits couldn't stay attached to me. Another thing is, God opened my eyes clearer to see the spirits when they come for me, because they're never going to stop.
Yeah.
So you have to do what God shows you to do, if it even sounds crazy. I use this all the time at work. I used to tell this all the time. Whatever God does is always upside down.
Backwards.
To some people sitting in this room, might sound upside down and backwards, but that's okay. Because that's your personal walk with God. You got to do what God is guiding you to do. Because it's personal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that offense, because what I was going to say is just going to throw a monkey wrench just right in. Mark 16:16. Explain that, please.
Read it.
What is it?
Yeah, don't just throw a scripture at me and act like that.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved.
Yes.
But he who is what? He who does not believe
will be condemned.
And baptized. Wait a minute. Wait, it didn't say that.
It didn't say that.
So, Ricky, what does it mean? That's the key right there.
Well, baptizing the water. Baptizing that sentence means it's a different baptism.
Yeah. What baptism is that?
That's the baptism of fire, the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yeah,
the Holy Spirit.
That's what John was talking about when he said in Matthew 3:7, when the Pharisees were coming, and the Sadducees were coming to John. And he said, "You brought a vipers." Pretty much, who warned y'all? Because y'all, I pretty much know why y'all doing this. It's not really as sincere. But understand that this baptism that you're coming to get of repentance of water, if you don't repent, if you don't change, it's not going to save you, because any tree that does not bear good fruit is going in the fire, regardless if you come into this water or not. This is a different thing. It's like, yes, baptism of water, that's good, but the baptism of fire, that's an actual change within yourself. That's actually, I'm believing on God. I believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And that belief in that, it makes me act differently. I don't allow myself to feel a conviction to the point of me thinking that I'm not worthy enough anymore. That's when all these torturers come to you, as far as like, you know, depression and all of these things. When you have that belief and you are born again, it's like, yeah, that might happen, but you always go back to the foundation and you walk in the Spirit. Because if you're doing it, we talk about all the time, if you're in the flesh, you're not going to believe it. If something bad is going to happen, you're not going to believe it. I just want nobody to get, and the reason I say that, I don't like nobody doing it. Do it as many times as you, if it's going to make you walk a straighter path, then by all means, do it 1,000 times. I'm just saying, we got to get to a point to where it's not, nothing on this planet doing anything is going to change the fact of how you treat people and love people and love yourself. That's the biggest thing. You going to love yourself? Are you going to be obedient to the word? Are you going to treat your neighbor as yourself? I mean, that's the biggest things right there. Those are the most important.
Let me say this. In the premise of this conversation is so that we're all on the same page, and so far as the understanding of this sensitive in terms of personal dynamics of what you have done before in your life, and you were sprinkled when you were a baby, you realize, okay, that wasn't it. Or maybe you never did it before. The premise for us as believers is to understand when an unbeliever asks us about this particular practice, that we don't confuse the sacrament practice that has been presented with what it actually is. A recognizing, an identification, and a proclamation of us saying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is what I identify with based upon my confession of faith. Period. It's a public display of something that I can, and only I can identify with, an inward change. And when it's done publicly, now I have the responsibility of being washed with the water of the word to live my life according to what God says by his Spirit, because you can't do anything good in and of yourself. And throughout that journey, there are times where you and I disconnect from the Spirit of God, and we are led by our own desires and our own flesh and do what we want to do. Doesn't disqualify us from being saved, but it does disqualify us from his power to deal with the depression and deal with the ideas of what I want to do as compared to what God wants me to do. But then when we repent, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do we have to do that repetitively? Because there are multiple times where we find ourselves disconnecting from the Spirit of God and his leading. We just do. But when we do that, it doesn't mean that, okay, now I got to go back and I got to go. And this is not, again, this is not knocking anybody from making a decision based upon what they feel the Spirit of God is saying them to do. But I don't have to go and I have to get baptized again. I don't have to do that again, because it's not a have to. I do it once. I've identified once. Now I have to live a life of holiness and sanctification. That's the next step. We haven't even gotten to that truth yet. But that's what the next thing that we should be doing, so that we don't find ourselves falling into the traps of the world and certain things that are taught to say, well, you know, you need to do this again because it didn't take the first time. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that that's what people feel like in here, but I'm saying that a lot of times people feel that guilt, and then we as Christians, if we share that with other people, well, you know, you didn't get baptized the right way, you got sprinkled, so you might want to get immersed because, no, you need to get immersed because you want to identify with the reality of your faith. That's why you should do it. That's a hand raise?
No, not really, okay. But I just wanted to be noted that I threw Mark 16:16 in there because I've had it thrown at me before, and since, you know, we're equipping each other,
yes, sir.
So I kind of wanted everybody to be able to hear that. So could you, like, go over that? I don't know. It's just something inside of me feels like we can't gloss over that because people love to use that scripture. I mean, me and Draylen went back and forth in a Sunday school before,
okay,
because he was stuck there. And I was trying to explain to him what we're talking about now. Okay. So that's why I brought it up, because I've studied that before.
Okay.
Mark what?
16:16.
Jesus appears to his disciples, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. So in context, he's speaking to his disciples, the 11 that were there. And he's giving them instruction. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything. See, again, because the connotation of this is that if you just take it for what it's saying word for word, then that means that some of these people that y'all see grabbing snakes and walking around with them, that's what we should be doing too. Don't laugh. There's people who actually do that. And it's because they're taking without taking the connotation of what does he mean. So what does Jesus mean when he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Is he saying that you have to be baptized in order to be saved?
He said that the belief is the key word.
Yes. Again, the premise of this statement is, he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe, he stops there.
Yeah, he doesn't say, and or baptized.
And not baptized will not be saved, or will be condemned. So we gotta take the essence of, okay, when we break this word down, baptized, what is Jesus saying here? What baptism is he talking about here? Is he just talking about the immersion in water, or is he talking about something different that he had been talking about when he talked to Nicodemus?
Okay. He's talking about the Word.
He's talking about the Word, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is what you just finished saying. And what we have to understand when we look at this, because... Which Paul experienced, right?
So, yeah.
And that's... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, before you went with the spiritual answer that we're all going to say amen to... honestly, there's a logical. It's called the negative inference fallacy, basically, because I just found the article that I brought up. Basically, any statement that is true, we can't assume that the exact opposite of that statement would be false. So, if we see a dog with brown spots, we can't say that a dog without brown spots is not a dog just because that dog doesn't have brown spots. So if you believe and are baptized and you will be saved, it doesn't say if you don't believe and are not baptized, you will not be saved. Right. And he also doesn't say if you believe, if you do believe but you're not baptized, you won't be saved. As well as...
Jesus tells you why you will be condemned to hell.
Right.
He tells you why.
He does.
I go to the scripture. People think I'm telling for myself.
What's the scripture?
us in Matthew.
While he's looking for that, I want us not to. I don't want us to get. We're not confused. We understand that baptism is a get to and a want to. It's a desire to follow in Jesus' example of righteousness. We're able to do so because we understand that our confession of faith and the heart change and transformation by the Holy Spirit, we want to now publicly display to people what happened on the inside of us.
When did baptism start?
Ceremony.
I wasn't here.
In this context? Here.
Okay.
No,
The aspect of immersion started in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I know that. But okay. When did it get from the temple to just the Jordan?
John the Baptist.
Remember the temple?
Okay, so
the temple,
was the one that...
Yeah, the temple had been destroyed. And for some years it had been destroyed. And then through various dynamics, the Jews were able to rebuild the temple. And so they went back to the practices of... animal sacrifices, things of that nature during Jesus' time. But this aspect of the baptism that John was doing had absolutely nothing to do with just cleansing yourself for the aspect of sacrifices, because there was a new dynamic that had been introduced. John the Baptist, every time that he saw Jesus, he declared, look, the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. So all of the sacrifices that were going on, he's basically declaring, hey, all of this is happening at the temple is coming to an end. Your baptism now is not about cleansing yourself so that you can offer up sacrifices or others can offer sacrifices to you, but now you repent so that God can now live in you. Tracking? So it picked up with John. When he started, as soon as the Holy Spirit hit him to say, okay, John, I need you to start making the way available, pointing toward Jesus, who was his cousin, who was maybe a couple of months younger than him. Right?
13.
Say again?
3 months.
3 months younger? So, go ahead.
Luke 13, repent or perish. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But those 18 of whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And it's like hundreds of verses that says, if you don't repent, you will perish. It's repentance. If you don't repent, that's what baptism means. You're turning away. You're turning away from
the old self.
You're dying from the old self, your old self.
Yes, yes, sir. So, yes, ma'am. I'm looking at him, go. Don't be offended.
No, I'm just so the one that I asked, where I read that, it was like an article or something, but it said that like you get a baptized again, it's basically saying that the Holy Spirit did the first time wasn't sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
It can be true. It can be. It depends on what's going on with you and God and your relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're feeling like I gotta get baptized again because I didn't quite get it right, then really don't consider baptism. Consider your confession of faith.
But I think that sometimes people do that outward, like the outward thing, because they want to get closer to him. I think sometimes that's why it's
done. You can't do that.
Right.
I'm talking about the relationship between how, because me and someone were talking about this. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, some people, they just hear the Holy Spirit or they hear God talking to them and they immediately can act on it. And then other people think that they're so far away from him that they need to do all these things to get closer to him.
What can you do to get closer to God? I'm not attacking you. I'm saying, because I'm challenging us all to change our mind and thinking about our relationship with God. There is nothing in an act that you can do to get closer to God. God is already near you.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've messed up so bad, I feel like God is so distant from me. God is no distant, more distant from you than you calling him and saying, God, I'm here. For him to say, I'm here. You understand what I'm saying? We muddle again the practices of other religions or other aspects of Christianity to say I've got to somehow earn God's attention.
No, not earning it.
Well, that's what you're saying. It's like I've moved so far away from him. I've got to do something to prove to him that I'm good now. Okay, then talk to me.
No.
Okay, then talk to me.
No, that's what I just said. No, that's not earning. It's not earning as it is when you first get saved. When you first get saved and you feel like that rush and you're just like on fire and you're just loving him and everything that you do, like a song gets you on your knees and you're praying and you're doing all this great stuff, and then life happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel like, not that he's not there, but that I guess you're right, it's earning, because I don't know how else to do it, but I just feel like sometimes what people have told me, mm-hmm. when I said like, oh, I'm reading this type of Bible, or oh, I'm reading these types of things, they're like, oh, you think that you have to do something to earn him. And I'm like, no, it's just that I kind of am interested. I'm kind of interested in getting a deeper, just going deeper in him. It's kind of like being in a friendship with someone, how you want to get deeper into that relationship, so you want to know everything about them, or you want to originate. That's what I'm saying, why some people want to get baptized. Not because they're trying to earn it, that they're trying to like get deeper with him, like get a more intimate almost relationship, because they feel like their relationship is so surface.
I got you, but see, the issue is then we have to be careful to not act in ignorance though. You understand what I'm saying? I clearly understand what you're saying right now, but to get baptized because that's going to make me feel like I'm getting, that's an act of ignorance. You don't have to do that to get closer to God. Because how do you actually get closer to God?
Studying
your word and what else?
Praying
and what else?
Worship.
Huh? Say it. That's definitely going to help you get closer. Yes, ma'am. Because if you got some stuff, you got to get rid of that stuff. So I understand your point. What I'm saying is we have to be careful not to do things out of ignorance. Because God is like, okay, that's cool that you did that, but you didn't have to do that. I just needed you to pray. And let my spirit tell you, come on. You know what I'm saying? I want to say that again. I understand what you're saying, because that kind of gives that air of, well, I just want to be closer to you. I want to do the things necessary. But in the wisdom that God gives us, how we get close to him is by his spirit. You know what I'm saying? From a biblical standpoint, because what happens in, like, what we've been talking about all tonight, we had so many different perspectives of this one issue that's really not an issue. And the reason why we struggle with this is because we have been inundated with the idea that this instead of baptism being this complement to my faith, it's synonymous, that it's a have to, and when I mess up, then maybe I got to do it again, and when the Holy Spirit through God tells me to do it, that I'm feeling convicted because I'm being told I can't do it. And it's like, whoa, press pause. This is a get to. This is a get to. You get to do this. And if God is instructing you to do it, please follow his instruction. But understand what it is that you're doing, so that when once you do it and you come out and you, I am identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now work out your faith with fear and trembling by studying and washing with the water of the word and the spirit. Work out the aspect of your holiness and sanctification, understanding that, you know what, there's going to be days when you disconnect from the Spirit of God and you're going to do your own thing. But it's okay, because he's given us his word to say how we get back. Repent. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so somebody asked me when I told them that I was talking to them about getting baptized. They were like, okay, so what's going to change when you get baptized?
What's going to change?
Yeah, that I didn't know. Like, what is it supposed to, they asked me, like, what's going
to
change?
Oh, they asked me what's supposed to change?
Yeah.
First, the first question you have to ask them is, are you born again?
They don't understand.
Right, you're putting the cart before the horse. Are you saved? If you're saved, the transformation has already happened. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. The people get this idea that baptism is salvation. Ooh.
Like, so
I came out of the water, I don't feel no different. Of course not. Are you born again? Yes, sir. Starting this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So is it safe to say there's nothing spiritual about baptism?
Wrong.
No, I ain't going to say that.
No, 23.
See, okay. That's why a devil's advocate.
I know you're doing this.
I'm just saying.
No, no.
Because I'm taking the exact verbiage being used. Because if I'm cleansed from the inside from my confession and belief, then, and I'm only, it's an outward expression.
It's symbolic.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So it is spiritual. It's spiritual in the aspect of display. It's not spiritual in terms of act. It's spiritual in terms of display.
But isn't that what Jesus did before he started all his stuff?
He got
baptized. Yeah, like,
yes, ma'am.
Immediately once he got baptized, the Holy Spirit washed over him. And I think that's why people think that it's synonymous. Like, you can't have one without the other because they see Jesus. Because I'm just saying what I saw.
I feel you.
And I was told, you see how Jesus, how he started to do all his stuff and God was having him heal and do all that. He only did it because he was baptized and then the Holy Spirit came down on him. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I feel you. The only problem is like with the disciples, they weren't all baptized and they got the tongues and then they were praying and doing all that other stuff.
They were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
No, okay, never mind. But you don't, yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but you're proving the point in terms of.
They weren't baptized by water.
No, and that's why I'm saying why some people think it's synonymous. Because
okay,
people
so,
use that analogy. Not the analogy of the disciples, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They think they have to physically go in water and be dunked in a pool, whatever, and then come back up.
East Coast, whatever.
And just they're like, oh yay, you know.
Okay,
and,
so
but I see you.
But here's the thing that you would give as a response: when Jesus was baptized. One, he didn't have to do it because the whole premise of repentance and all that, he didn't have to repent from any sin because he didn't have any sin, right? He did it so that the aspect of fulfillment of righteousness would happen. He was setting an example, number one. When the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, there was something that was said.
This is my son, whom I love, please.
Listen to him. Catch the difference. If somebody's going to use Jesus as the example, you got to take what happened to Jesus in that premise. One, he didn't need to be baptized. He did it so that he would set an example for those of us who needed to be baptized. Right? Holy Spirit comes down. This is the presence of God upon him. It didn't empower him to do anything that he wasn't already empowered to do. It was an affirmation of who he was. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Then he comes out of the water and he goes led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, so on and so on and so forth. Different dynamic. So we can't use the premise of Jesus being baptized as, oh, that's how we have to do, because God is not telling people to run around now, listen to her because you've been baptized and listen to this person. No, listen to the word. Follow the word. Track the word. How do I know that I'm doing that right? Because I'm being led by the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? He reminds me of everything that Jesus has said. Who? Jesus. Why? Because I'm supposed to listen to him. The Father's instruction when he got baptized. So I understand your example where the confusion happens, and that's why we have to study so that we can correct those kind of things that are said in regards to, okay, let me just explain to you what happened with Jesus and how it's the same for us in terms of the example, not the same in terms of the empowerment. Because he was already good. He was sin. He was sinless. He didn't do what he did for the same reasons that we do what we do.
And
yes,
that's what they say over us.
Mm-hmm. What?
When we were babies and you get baptized.
They say what?
Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And they do the oil and the water.
Okay. It's 8:35. I want to deal with this last thing. I can't even get to the seven baptisms, and I don't want to necessarily confuse y'all with those just yet, because we talked about it, like, at least four of them tonight. But we'll get into this next week when we get into the aspect of holiness and sanctification. But let me say this. Okay, question is thrown out there. So, Do you baptize in the name of Jesus? Do you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Does it matter? Because this is an argument that people have. Well, if you just got baptized in the name of Jesus, then your baptism is not official.
Null and void?
That's what people some people believe that. Yes.
Yeah.
People, if you don't say the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then your baptism is not official.
I heard that.
Of course, it's a lack of understanding. What say you, fellow believers? Is it in the name of Jesus, or is it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Come on, Richie. Go ahead. I got 5 minutes.
Nothing. I would just say to the pastor, just go ahead and say all three just to be safe. No. Come off the water like, I didn't hear the third one.
We got to do this again.
Go back under.
Does it? You do know some baptized.
I don't think it matters.
Four.
Can I just say this? It doesn't really matter. But let me let you know what I practice. I practice that particular thing because people get funny. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Wait. You're not struggling yet. There you go. You can't breathe now. I'm just going. People get particular about a situation when it comes to the issue of baptism because, like I said, it's been created to make it synonymous with salvation. It's not. It's an act of obedience that we get to do so that people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, can rejoice and bear witness to what we say has transformed in us.
Yeah.
You only have to but do it once. If you choose to do it again, it does not disqualify you. It doesn't enhance your salvation anymore. That is you and God getting it right between you and God. Are y'all understanding right. What I'm saying?
Yes.
Is everybody good? Brandy, are you good? So we gonna do it, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, you can change your mind on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still down? There is a sheet there. You need to pray. You need to make sure. Because if you felt like God told you to do something, don't go back on it. And don't do that. But we have a sign-up sheet because I need to have a number for those of you who are going to desire to be baptized on the 30th of this month. We have a spot, a church that has opened up their baptism for us to be able to do that act of obedience. So if that's what you want to do, please make sure you sign on in that sheet before you leave today. We'll get to the seven baptisms next week. But go back and read everything that you can find in the Bible in regards to this subject matter. Make sure you do your homework in regards to your own personal understanding of what we talked about tonight. Because again, these are questions from unbelievers, people who just don't know, and these are topics of discussion that people talk about because they come from so many walks of life and denomination, and they've been given so much misinformation, and many times, not even so much misinformation, but how they feel about the act, that they think that it somehow is a rewarding of being better in God's sight, and we have to settle ourselves in terms of what did God say about this? Stop complicating things so much. Complication creates confusion, and confusion turns into people getting frustrated. People getting frustrated means that I don't have nothing to do with that because it's just too much stuff. And God, His word is not confusing. Amen.
Amen.
You say you don't know about that.
Yeah.
Keith, I'm not going to get into this with you right now. God's word is not confusing, Keith. It's not. But you have to study. You do have to take time and look at it and understand what it is that you're looking at. Because if you look at it just from the premise of your modern-day understanding of things and its translation of today, then you're going to misinterpret something. And people have done that. But that's why we have Bible sessions. so that we can break some of this stuff down and so we can be challenged. Any questions? All right. Any comments?
Romans 6:3-11.
You read that for us?
Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over us. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Chris, would you close this out, please?
Yes. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Lord, I pray that we will reflect on what we heard tonight, and that we will do even deeper research into your word to get a clear understanding of what all this means, God. Thank you, Lord, for the main thing, which is Jesus dying for us, Lord, to give us an opportunity to believe on him and be saved. And I pray, God, as we go deeper into this study, that we open our minds to the Spirit that teaches us through our pastor to understand what this is all about. Protect us as we go home tonight, Father. Bless our families and our homes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Appreciate you guys.
Yes.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.